Brother and sister, even you are worshiping on the online, I just want to ask you, how were you doing for the last week? And I want to advise everybody, because the weather is getting colder now, so I want you to keep warm. And because God tells us we need to keep our health so we'll be able to worship our God and be able to do the work. This morning, I'm going to preach the topic, is facing the fall. So we're going to learn what kind of attitude you should have when we facing the fall. And I believe everybody hope, all human beings, earn for pieces. Nobody like war. But there has been war since the beginning of the Garden of the Eden. So this morning, we are going talking about from the visible war to the invisible war. Whether we like it or not, we are in the state of the war all the time. It's just that some people don't notice the conspiracy of the enemy. So we need to learn from the God want us to learn from the Joshua chapter 10. So besides we consistently pray, what else we can do? We are going to continue the message from the last Sunday. It was the tribe of the Canaan at that time, and they decide on a major event. What is the major event? The five kings were joined force to attack the city. So right now, let's read the Joshua chapter 10, verse 5. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of the Jerusalem, Hebron, Shamath, Lachish and Eglon, the joint forces, they moved out with all their troops and took up the position against the Gibeon and attacked it. So we know the combine of the five kings and the power is very strong. So let's read the Joshua chapter 10 and verse 6. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp and the Gilgal, "Do not abandon your servants. Come out to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorites came from the here country have to join force against us." So Joshua marched out from the Gilgal with his entire army, increased all the best fighting men. The Lord said to the Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to stand you." So let's just stop it on the verse 8 here. So let's review the message for last Sunday. So I want to ask you this question. Why did the Israelites help the Gibeonites? Because they have made a covenant before the Lord God? Because this covenant, because the Israelites have to make a covenant before the Lord God, therefore the Israelites have the responsibility to protect the Gibeonites. The most important sentence of the whole process is in verse 8. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them." And that means do not be afraid of the five kings. They united together. "I have given them into your hand. not one of them will be able to withstand you. So, brother, sister, what do we see here? This is the God's promise to Joshua. The war had not yet begun, but God had told Joshua that the war, the Israel will win this war. So that means that God speak to the Israelites, do not be afraid of them, because I have given them into your hand. So we see here, it was God who fought for the Israelites. So we need to remember one truth. As long as God help us, no one be able to stand him. And this is a very fierce battle, because the combined power of the five kings is not small. So they fight each other very fiercely. So let's read Joshua chapter 10, verses 9 to 10. So I want everybody, when we read this, we need to bring yourself, it seems like you are in the real battlefield at that time. Let's read verse 9. After an all-night march from the Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into the confusion before the Israel. So the Joshua and the Israelites defeated them complete at the Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going into the Beth Horon and cutting down all the way to Azekah and the Makeda. So what do we see Joshua's strategy? Just a quick march. And the whole army is very fast to attack the enemy at night. Catch them off guard. So right now, let's continue to read the chapter 10 and verse 11. As they fled before the Israel on the road down from the Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large the hailstone down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. From here, we saw that God caused the great hailstone from the heaven to kill the many enemies. And God used the hail to kill far more enemies than Israel killed. So I want you to think about, in that time, what the situation will be. Because the Israelites, they know, actually God helped them to fight this fight. And God sent the hail from the heaven to fight for the Israelites, to fight for them, to their enemy. So from this one, we can see that God was really fighting for the Israel and won the victory. So it doesn't matter who are your enemy, but our God is the warrior for our battle, and then we will win a victory. A common saying among the Christian today is that the Lord Jesus is our help at any time. Yep, that's exactly right. But we have to have one principle. That is, God will not come to help us with whatever we are supposed to do. Only when we can't do it, well, God will come to help us in time. Although God has promised to give the land of the Canaan to the Israelites, the battle that the Israelites should fight, they still need to fight themselves. So what I want to say here is we are children of the God. Of course, we must actively do what we should do. And the reason is very simple. Because God doesn't want to raise some lazy children. But a loving and a gracious God will come to help us immediately when we can't. And we can observe this principle from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Thank God, He's always with us. Be our help anytime. Thus, we can see Joshua leading the Israelites to fight on the battlefield. And then you do know the Israelites. They have their duty, they need to fight for the enemy. Of course, God is their helper, but they still need to go into the battlefield to fulfill their duty. Only you fulfill your duty, then God will help you with that. Next, we want to study a very special phenomena. And the next one, we are going to read Joshua, the chapter 10, 12 to 14. They were going to talk about a very long stay. And this is a very difficult the verses to understand. From the verse 12, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Son, stand still of the Gibeon, and you move over the valley of the Jaalan." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation, the avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of the Joshua. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky, and the delay going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to the human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. So before we give you the further explanation, we need to understand three things. The first, we need to understand the Jewish concept of the day is from the sunset of the previous day to the sunset of the second day. And this is what they call a day. The concept of the day from the morning to night is quite different from what is commonly said. And the second thing we need to understand is why did Joshua pray to God that the daytime will be longer? And it's because if the daytime longer, so bright, we'll be able to see clearly, so we can fight in the battle. And if it is the pitch black at night, it's hard to tell if it's the enemy or our army, especially if you cannot see clear. You cannot see what the color of clothes they wear. Are they wear the blue? Are they wear the red one? So we need the daytime longer. So it's bright, we'll be able to differentiate the enemy or our army. The third concept is also very important. There are many signs and wonders that only the law of the God can do. And it is far beyond what we can do with the limited science. Besides, some people said that we should not use the scientific explanation into the Bible or try to attempt to turn the book of the Joshua into the scientific treatise. And this kind of the thinking is totally flawed. And if you want to use the scientific explanation into the Bible phenomena, sometimes it's hard for you to understand, because we need to recognize we are the innate being, and we are created by the God. Our thinking is limited, and the God, the thought, is beyond what we can fathom. So it's easy for God to perform the sign and wonders. And when we have this understanding, we may comprehend more when we look at the Joshua, the longest day. And many biblical scholars study the phenomena of the sun and the moon standing still. There are two categories. The first type of the scholar consider it to be a more exaggerated description in the biblical literature. His basis is like what the points say in the psalm. They talk about the stream of the tears flow from my eyes. So let's read the psalm, the 119 and the verse 136. Let's read together. Streams of my tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. The point say in the psalm, stream of the tears flow from my eyes. And you understand, the tears never becomes the rivers. What the point wants to express is a very sad feeling. And he tried to express, this is the very sorrow, very sad feeling. So they tried to use a little bit exaggerated description to describe a phenomena. It can be explained by the literal meaning, because everybody knows that the tears cannot become river. So the same expression is used in the battle of the Joshua. Because the battle was so intense, and you can see the power of the combined of the five kings are fierce, are strong. So it could still be seen clearly even in the moonlight, just like in the daytime. So this is the interpretation of the some Bible scholar. But the other biblical scholars think otherwise. Since God is wonderful and great, he has the ability to display his wonderful deed in that special situation. Because he is the God created the whole heaven and the earth. Definitely God has this ability to display his wonderful deed. But whatever your opinions, the whole point of the book of the Joshua is actually to emphasize that the Lord was always fighting for Israel. This is the truth we need to know. In addition, we know that God has other names. In Old Testament, one of the God's names is the Jehovah Nissi. In Exodus chapter 18, it is said that Israel and the Amalek fought. At that time, the old Moses leading the Israel fight with the Amalek. So let's look at the Exodus, the chapter 17, 11 to 16. Let's start from the verse 11. As long as Moses held up his hand, the Israelites was winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hand grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur hold his hand up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hand remained standing still sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on the scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua heard it, because I will complete blot out the name of the Amalek from under heaven. And verses 15, Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, because the hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from the generation to generation. And the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from the generation to generation. So we know Yehovah, the Lord, is the Israel's warrior. And because the God chose the Israel as his people, and the Lord promised the Israel will give them the land of the Canaan, and the food fields, the honey, and the milk. And even God giving the very good promise, but the Israel still have to fulfill their duty when they go into the land of the Canaan, because there are lots the different tribes, they worship the different God. So they have to go there to fight this battle. And what about the revelation? Our Lord Jesus rode on the white horses and descended from the heaven with an army of the thousand of the angel. So I want to ask you, brother and sister, why did our Lord Jesus ride on the white horse and descend from the heaven? So what do they do? Of course, they want to fight Satan and the devil. And because our Lord Jesus going come to the earth, and they're going to throw the Satan devil into the lake of the fire. So let's look at Revelation, the chapter 17 and the verse 14. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them, because he is Lord of the Lord and King of the Kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and the faithful followers. So here tells very clearly, they will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb is our Lord Jesus, and the Lamb will won this battle, because he is the Lord of the Lord and the King of the King. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. So who is the one is called, chosen, and faithful followers? And that's us. So those who belong to Jesus Christ, not only the Jesus will come, will bring us to fight with the Satan, devil. And during the end of the war battle, the God going to leave his people to fight with the Satan devil, and they will win the final victory. So brother and sister, today the enemy appears in a different form. And the Satan constantly tempt many people to indulge in with the wine, lust, wealth, and the glory and the wealth of the world. And you can see right now in a society, there's so many criminals scamming, a lot the best, the news, everything around us. No wonder the First John remind us on chapter 2, 16 to 17. Let's read together. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of the life came not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desire pass away, but whoever does the will of the God live forever. Only those who does the will of the God live forever. So this is the good reminder for us. So you want to follow our Lord Jesus, or you want to follow the world and conform with the concept of the world, especially during this special time, we need to pay attention to the God's word. We need to study God's word. And I have to tell the brother, sister so many times, we cannot just read the God's word, but we need to really pay attention to study. Then it become your strength and you want to apply in your life. And you need to build up your faith through study God's word. So you know our God is faithful. He will fulfill his promise to you. So if you agree, please say amen. So we see there's so many corruption in a society. All right. And you were wondering, what should we do? So let's read the 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. So let's read together. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is the righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So pay attention to the verse 7, because here remind us, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. We know there's a lot of temptation from the world. So we need to very pay attention through our prayer to God. Especially when you raise your kids, you know, we need to pray for our kids. All right, do not be tempted by the world. Okay, so we need to examine our mind, our soul. See, do we have any kind of thoughts is leave us astray from the God? If you feel for God and you will have a faith on God and you will hold up the God's promise and they can help you to fight to overcome all the temptations from the world. So that's God tell us we have to keep the holiness so we won't be tempted by the world and go astray to fall into the trap of the devil. So for the Son of God appear is to destroy the work of the devil. So we want to thank God. Our Lord Jesus, the first time came to the earth, he died for our sin. And then he died and he rise again. When he arise again, he really destroyed the world of the devil. He overcome the death. And when the Jesus, they come the second time, that's where he give us the promise. When he come, he going to destroy the world of the devil. He going to throw the devil into the lake of the fire in hell. There's another very important principle that we have to ask ourselves. That's it. Do we have a great faith in God? How much do you think you believe in God's promise? Doubtful? or you fully believe it. Therefore, our faith in the Lord is a very important key. I want to repeat one more time. Our faith in the Lord is a very important key. Besides, we need to believe the God, we need to be safe, and we also have to want the victory. Let's read 1 John chapter 5 and the verse number 4 together. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that have overcome the world, even our faith. Let's repeat again. For everyone born of the God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. You can see this is very important. We need to know this. What if someone asks you that, well, my faith is not enough. Well, Pastor, what should I do? And this is a very good question. And we know the faith, the growth of the faith, this is the process. It takes time to grow your faith. The growth of the faith is the need a process to grow gradually. And how to increase your faith in God is a topic worthy of the thinking about it. Of course, it is also a topic worthy of our in-depth discussion. So I want to throw this question to the Sunday school teacher or the children's Sunday school. Maybe in a future year study, you can discuss this, how to increase your faith in God. And think about it. When a young David faced the ferocious and the giant Goliath, what was David's state of mind? Let us not forget that in the entire army of Israel, led by the King Saul at that time, no one dared to fight a giant Goliath, not a single one. At that time, David was just only 17 or 18 years old, just a teenager. And the King Saul was supposed to put his armor on David. But David is not used to it because it's too heavy. So the David refuses. And the David's weapon to fight for the giant Goliath is worth nothing more than the slingshot he used when tending the sheep. So I believe everybody have the good impression about this story. And the very important reason is because the David's faith in the God. This is the basis of his victory, because the David was not afraid in the face of the fears. David said to Goliath, "You come against me with a sword and a spear, but I came against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." So the David used the slingshot just the way the gravel, the rock, and be able to kill Goliath. So the important reason that David can win this battle is David's faith in God. If we look at the outside appearance, you can see that David is so small and from the outside looks so weak, and his weapon is only slingshot. But he be able to win this battle. It's not because whatever he has or the outside appearance, but because the God is on his side, because our Lord is the Lord of the Lord and the King of the King. So how important is our faith in God? Let's go back to the Joshua chapter 10 again. And at that time, the army of the five kings was about to attack the Israelites. God has promised Joshua first. And In fact, God's intention was to help the Joshua and the Israelites to be strong and courageous, in addition to learn to fully trust God's promise. And not to mention the five kings, even 50 kings, are definitely not God's promise. And you know, when God chose Israel as his people, and God lead them go out of the Egypt, and on the, all the way there, God accompanied them, provide what they need, because the God want them to build up the trust in God. God want them to know, because I'm on your side, not one can be able to stand the God. So we want to thank you, God, because we have the faith in God, and God have us to recognize this truth. And the second part is that whatever our duty is to do, we must do it well. So we must rely the Lord to overcome. Let's look at our slide. The confidence plus the action, or you want to say the faith plus the action equals success. Today, what we face are work pressure, misunderstanding in the interpersonal relationship, and a child upbringing issue, and a virus pandemic, and which can affect our faith in God. But when we experience the God's grace from time to time, we know that our Lord is the Lord of the all things in the universe. The point also reminds us, when the flood came, the Lord still was the king, the seat on the throne as the king. No matter how arrogant Satan is, and no matter how the tricky the Satan will be, we know the Lord still sits on the throne, and the Lord still controls everything, and his end is coming soon. So as long as we follow the God's will, and God will save us and fulfill his promise. Because our Lord promised that he will come back to judge all the people and all the nations. And God will give us the white robe. So we will be clothed with the white robe, and we will be able to return to the eternal home, to live in the new Jerusalem, because there's no pain, no tear, and there are the eternal bliss. So today the topic we're talking about is when you're facing a big enemy and you know what you need to do and what kind of attitude we should have to face all the situation. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we want to thank you. You give you us the message from the Joshua chapter 10. And we pray God give us faith, so we have a complete faith in God. So no doubt at all. Because you got God, you are the faithful God, you fulfill your promise. And you are the faithful God forever. When we face the big enemy, and we have a faith, we can win the victory through God. And we pray your word will be with us and strengthen us and help us to become to the warrior of the God. In this end time, we can rely God to win the victory. And all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.